I'm actually going to answer a couple questions that was submitted from you guys, and I say we're going to dive in. We're going to climb up on the high dive. We're going to do a cannonball into the deep end. It's going to be one of those kind of things we're going to talk about today. I believe it's something that a lot of people ask and a lot of people wonder about. And so the question is, why doesn't everyone who prays for healing get healed? And when they asked me that question, I was like, oh man, that's a big subject. That's a tough one. I mean, it's one of those that we've all asked at one point in our lives. And I'm going to give you the short answer first, and then I want to go back and look into God's Word, and we're going to talk about it just a little bit. And so are you ready for the answer to the question? Why doesn't everybody who prays for healing gets healed? Here's my answer. I don't know. All right, we can go home now. See? But I mean, there is no one answer to this question. There is no, it's such a huge topic. And so today I want to jump into this and talk about it. And I prepared sermon notes and all this stuff, and I was ready to get up and preach today. As I was kind of getting ready this morning, I felt like, I don't feel like that's the way we need to go. And so, when someone asks me a question like that, usually I like to go sit on the couch, like, let's go sit down, let's talk about it. And so I just want to talk about it today. I brought my chair up here, and we're just going to sit down, let's talk today about this, because it's a deep subject. It's not one that we're going to solve today. It's like solving world hunger. You're not going to do it in a day, and there's no one answer. And so, but I want to talk about the things around this we're going to talk about healing and just different aspects that we wrestle with in this topic. But anytime we get into something like this, I lean on this scripture a lot on the tough questions. Isaiah 55, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything that you can imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And that's what I want to start off on is, we can't comprehend God. He's given us His Word. He's given us, to where we can dive in there and we can get a glimpse of who God is and how He operates. But I don't believe that we'll fully ever understand God this side of heaven. And there's certain questions that we won't have answers to this side of heaven. Now, when you get up to heaven, you can ask God this question, and He will just give you the most simple answer, and you can be like, oh, it's so simple. That's so easy. Why couldn't we comprehend that? But our minds are amazing. Our brains are amazing. And pastors talked about this several times, just the capacity that our brains have and all of the things that we've learned so far here on this earth, and it doesn't even come close to God's knowledge and His wisdom and His ways, and we have no way to comprehend that. And so we get glimpses is basically what we get. We get those through God's Word. And when it comes to questions like this and living life, the thing I base my faith on is, what does God say to this, and how have I experienced God's Word in my life? That's all I know. There's some of these guys that they come out of Bible school and they know everything. They can answer all your questions and they're actually right on everything. You've met some of these people, right? Everything they have an answer for, and it's always right according to them. And I've come to the conclusion in my life that, I believe my theology is right. I believe that everything I believe about God is right. There's this small possibility that I could be wrong on something. Okay? There's a small chance. And so I don't want to beat somebody up because they don't believe like me, or I don't want to, make you feel bad because of what you believe, because, I truly believe that I have a grasp of God's Word, not all of it, but on most subjects, and I believe is right. But I'm not going to after someone because they don't believe exactly like I do, because I'd be wrong, and you could be wrong. We'd both be wrong. We'd both be so far off, there's not any. But anyway, so let's talk about healing I want a statement at the beginning, and I want to talk, because as I make the statement, I come up with 500 questions. and 500,000 how that statement is wrong. Okay, and so, but today I want to make the statement, and I want to go to God's word and show you why I believe this, and let's go from there. But I believe, from what I read in God's word, that it is God's will for everyone to live a healthy life. I think it's God's will for everybody to be healthy. Now, we look across our world and we don't see that, do we? Not everybody's healthy. In fact, there's probably more people that's sick that are healthy. And so, but I believe that according to God's word, that what I read and what I've dove into God's word and studied out, that I believe that it is God's perfect will that we're all healthy. And we can see this in the Garden of Eden, because what God created in the Garden of Eden, I believe, is His perfect situation. This is what He wanted life to be. Why would He create something that He didn't want it to be? But I believe what He created in the Garden of Eden was God's perfect will of what He wanted life to be like for us. And as we look in the garden, we see that, you know, Adam and Eve, they're living in the garden, and God comes down and He talks with them, and they hang out together, and they have this perfect relationship. And that we don't see death in the garden. We don't see sickness in the garden. We don't see... there's a lot of things that we don't see in the garden. Now, I understand it was just Adam and Eve and God at that point. But I believe God, what He wanted for us right there. And what we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, 'You may eat freely of the fruit of every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.'" Okay? And so there was this one stipulation in all of the garden. You can eat of anything that you want. Everything is yours. Just don't eat of this one tree. And so we know the story that Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And so God said that if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Now, did Adam and Eve drop dead right then? No, they didn't. So did God lie? No, He didn't. What happened is that at this moment, death entered the world through their sin, through their disobedience. And because death entered in, that certain things began to take place. Now, how do we die? There's lots of different ways. You know, some people die of old age. Some people die of a sickness, a disease. Some people die in accidents. And there's lots of reasons death comes. But I don't believe any of that was God's will. I don't believe that God intended for that to happen. Now, He knew it was going to happen. Like, He knew Adam and Eve were going to sin. And that's why He put in place Jesus and the cross. And He planned that from the beginning, because He knew that we would choose the wrong path. And so we see at this moment that because of sin, death enters the world. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. But I believe that it's God's will for all of us to be healthy. And let me share some scripture with you of why I believe that. And I believe that I can prove that this is true. And so we see in Isaiah chapter 53... this is the prophet Isaiah, you know, 1,000 years or so before Jesus was even born. He's prophesying about the Messiah and what the Messiah is going to have to go through. And he says this in Isaiah 53, verse 4. He says, "Surely He took our pain and He bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished, stricken by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed." By His wounds we are healed. Now, there's a lot of people that will say, well, this is talking about spiritual healing. And yes, they're right. It is talking about spiritual healing. But one thing that I've come to realize is that when it comes to us as man, that we're made up of three parts. And we can read this in 1 Thessalonians, that we're spirit, soul, and body. And that when God deals with us, He deals with all parts of us, not just one part of us. Now, I don't believe that Jesus died just so that we could have spiritual healing, in which He did. He did die so that we can have spiritual healing. He healed our brokenness. He healed our sin problem. He came and He took care of that. He paid the price for that. But I believe within that, He just didn't deal with the spiritual part of us. I believe that He died for our emotional healing, for our mental healing. I believe that He died for our physical healing as well. This is a wholeness that this word healing is talking about. With His wounds, we are made whole. See, if He only healed one part of us, are we whole? No, He didn't. And so I believe that healing comes within what I call the salvation package. You know, you go to work and you get a package for getting hired on. You know, you get health benefits and you get retirement, and it's a package that you get, you know, above and beyond your pay. And I believe that's kind of what salvation is, that yes, salvation, it brings us forgiveness, and it gives us access to God, and we get to go to heaven one day. But so many Christians stop right there and say, you know, this is what salvation is, that we have forgiveness of sin and we get to go to heaven one day. But salvation is so much more than that. And I'm wanting to do a series on this. This might be the next series I do, is about what God provided for us at the cross through the salvation of Jesus. What all was it that He actually did for us? And because we read in Psalm chapter 103, you know, this is David in his worships to God. I don't have all my notes in order because it changed on me this morning, so I'm going to jump around a little bit. So if I look around, that's what I'm doing. Psalm 103:2, it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I not forget the good things that He's done for me. He forgives all of my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies." See, He's talking about what Jesus did for Him at the cross, and He said He heals all my, He forgives my sins, He redeems me from death, He crowns me with love and tender mercies. But in the middle of that, He says He heals all my diseases. I believe it's God's will for all of us to be healthy. I believe that according to God's will, His word, that is what He did for us at the cross, is that He gave us that. We can look at the Gospels. You know, anytime I have a question about something, about some kind of theology or something, I like to go back to see what Jesus said, about what Jesus did, because Jesus is God. Yes, He was man here on earth, but He is also 100% God. And so everything that He said was the words of God. We can see the heart of God through what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And if you notice, as Jesus went around, And he would preach. He would preach the good news of the gospel. But He just didn't preach. He didn't just necessarily focus on the spiritual side of things. But He also went around meeting needs and healing people. Never once do we read in the Gospels where someone came to Jesus asking Him to heal him and He say no. Never once did He say no. Now, there's times you see that He healed one person out of a group of people that were sick, but it was only that one person that asked. You know, we see at the Pool of Solomon, I think that's what it was called, Pool of Solomon, that one person got healed out of all of the sick people, but that's the one that asked. That's the one that trusted in Jesus, and He asked Him to heal him. But we see that everywhere He went, anyone who asked got healed. You know, we see the woman with the issue of blood. She's been bleeding for 12 years, and she's gone to the doctor. She spent all of her money, and she hears that Jesus is coming by. And she said, "If I could just touch the hem of His garment, then I would be healed." She activated that faith and said, "If I could just get to Jesus, then I'd be healed." And He was walking down the road. There's people, you know, I imagine it like, you know, a star walking into a concert or something, and all the fans around, they're all trying to touch him and stuff, and this woman reaches out and touches his clothes, and he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciple was like, "Jesus, do you see what's going on here? I mean, everybody is touching you." He's like, "No," said, "the power, I felt power go out of me, and somebody was healed." And even in those moments to where it wasn't Jesus initiating it, but she reached out in faith and touched, and she got healed in that moment. And we see that all through the Gospels, anyone who asked, anyone who reached out in faith, got healed. In Matthew chapter something. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It's bad not having notes in order. It says, Jesus went through all of the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I see a theme come up in all of these scriptures. You heal all my disease. He healed every sickness and disease. And so this is why I believe that it's God's will for us all to be healthy. But here's the thing. Not everybody gets healed, do they? So the question comes back, why doesn't everybody who prays for healing get healed? And again, I answer you, I cannot answer that question. I don't know. I wish I had an answer. I wish I had a magic prayer that you could pray. I wish I had a 5-step plan that you could go through that you could receive your healing, but it doesn't exist. But today I want to talk to you about different things that surround your healing, different things that surround health and life in general. Because a lot of people will answer that question, and a lot of y'all had that question pop up in your mind when I said, it's God's will for everyone to be healthy. Okay then, well why aren't we then? Why can't I receive my healing? You know, you hear some people say, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's why you're not healed. You just need more faith. You hear people say that, well, it's because you sinned. There's something that you've done to make God mad, and so He's not going to heal you because of that sin. Some people say, well, it's just the will of God. It's just whatever God wills, that's what's going to be done. He wills him to be healed, but not this one to be healed. You know, and there's just so many things out there, and there's so many different ways people answer this. And I just can't say that it's one of these. But all of these play a factor in our healing and in our health, but it's not one in particular. And so today I want to kind of dive in and talk about these different areas in life and about our healing and how things work together, because it's not simple. It's not just a simple answer that we can give. It's this one thing. But there's a lot of factors. And so let's talk about this today. Let's talk about God's will. So you're saying that it's God's will for everybody to be healthy, but not everybody is healthy. So there's two conclusions that we can come to, is that I'm wrong and it's not God's will for everybody to be healthy. Or number two, let me ask you this question. Is God's will always done? Is God's will always done? There's going to be a bunch of different questions of that. That's an age-old debate that's been going on ever since Jesus died on the cross. Is God's will always done? Some people will say, absolutely, God's will is always done. God is sovereign, and God's will is always done. Well, let me ask you this question. If God's will is always done, is it God's will for people to die of sickness? Is it God's will for people to be murdered, to be raped, for terrorist attacks? Is it God's will for these mass shootings? If you're saying God's will is always done, then those things are God's will. And that He kills people, and that He causes people to be raped, and He causes all that stuff. I tell you what, I can't buy that. As I look into God's Word, I don't see that. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. See, I don't see that God, who's a loving God, would cause those bad things to happen. That He would cause those accidents to happen that takes people's lives. And I can give you many different instances in God's Word about this. Let me ask you this question. Do you always do God's will for your life? So is God's will always done? No, it's not. See, it's the age-old debate of, is it all about God's will? Did God plan all of this? Did He make everything happen? That's one side of the debate. The other side is, it's all about free will. We choose what we want to do, and it's all about our choice. and we take God completely out of the equation. See, I believe it's somewhere in the middle of that. I believe God is all-powerful. I think that He's all-knowing. I think God is sovereign, and that God has a plan, and that He knows what's going to happen in this earth, and that He's made plans and He makes provision. See, we can read in the Bible the end, how it's all going to end. So obviously God has a hand in this thing, but is it all in God's hands? See, God told Adam and Eve, He said, you take care of the garden. I give it to you. He gave man authority to be in charge of the garden. He gave us authority to be in charge of this earth. He gave us free will. And so it's not all about God's will. It's not all about our will. But if there's this somewhere in between, to where it's God's will and our actions and our decisions come together. And that's why we can't give an answer to this question, because there's so many different variables. There's so many different things that play in here, and that not everything's cut and dry. Not everything's black and white. I wish to God that we could pray a magic prayer and that God would do something. That God would always act. That God would always do what we ask Him to do. But God's not a vending machine. We can't put our prayers in the vending machine, hit the number, pray the prayer, and God produce. It doesn't happen that way. Now, I believe that we can go into God's Word and find His promises, what God said about us, and that we can put our faith in that we can put our trust in that, and that we can confess those things over our lives, and that activates the power of God in our life. I truly believe that. But does that guarantee that it's going to happen? No. No, there's too many different variables in there. And so, for someone to say it was God's will for that to happen, I just don't buy it. I can't go down that road with you, because I believe that that we have a part to play in this life as well. And that, yeah, I believe in a sovereign God. I believe a God that is actively involved in our lives, and He's producing things in our lives. But there's this thing that we have to trust God, that we have to put our faith in Him. See, we also see in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord isn't slow, really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, but He is being patient for our sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but He wants everyone to repent. That is God's perfect will, is that everyone repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ and to trust Him. But does that happen? Absolutely not. Not everybody makes that decision. See, He's put some things in our hands, and that we have to trust in Him and not just think that God's going to do whatever He's going to do and that's what's going to happen. And so there's this line that we have to walk as far as God's will. And because I believe it is God's perfect will that we're all healthy, but we have some choices too. Am I saying it's your fault that you're not getting healed? Not necessarily. So let's talk about this. It's God's will. Another thing that we can look at here is that some people say, well, it's because you sinned. That's why you're not getting healed, because there's a sin. There's something that you've done that's holding back God from doing this in your life. Well, first of all, you're right and you're wrong, because, yeah, it was sin. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. And like we said before in the Garden of Eden, is that when they sinned, death entered into the world. And because of death entering the world, and that aging began, the aging process began, that sickness and disease, see, all of that is a result of sin. See, we think opposite of that is that aging, sickness, and disease results in death. But those things actually stem from death. And we can follow those lines all the way back to death. And it's because of sin entering the world, and that we live in a broken world and bad things happen, and that people make bad decisions that can affect us. So sin is part of the problem. But it's not necessarily a specific sin that you've done. It's not necessarily something that you did that's stopping healing from coming into your life. We see a story in John chapter 9. That was a big belief back then, is that if someone was born with a birth defect, they were blind, or whatever, that it was a specific result from a sin that they did. Listen to this. As Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who was blind from birth. Rabbi, His disciples asked Him, why was this Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? See, they automatically assume that he was born blind because of someone's sin. But listen to Jesus here. He said, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. So are you saying that Jesus, that God caused this sickness to happen? No. See, here's the thing. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where sin has a hold on it. And that just because something happens doesn't mean either God willed it or that we willed it. But sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just brokenness. Sometimes it's just death taking hold. Sometimes it's whatever it is. But I love how Jesus responded to this. He said, this happened so that God, that the power of God could be seen in him. And from that point, he healed that man. See, here's what God does. This is what God is good at. In that God doesn't cause everything to happen, but he can take whatever happens and he can bring good out of it. That's what God does. See, God gave us free choice. I can choose to do whatever I want to do. I have that ability because God gave that to me. Now, there's consequences for every choice that you make, whether a good consequence or a negative consequence. I can choose to follow God and God will bless me. I can choose to follow God and put my trust in him and he can do some things in my life. Or I can stand here and I can shoot all of you and that's my choice. And you would die. Well, I'm not that good of a shot actually, but you know. But see, that's the world that we live in and that we have free choice. And so God can take our choices, our mistakes, our bad things, even bad things that happen to us, and he can make something good come of it. That's what God does. And so when he said, this happened so that the power of God can be shown in this man, that's what he was talking about. He didn't say that God caused this man to be born blind so I could heal him later. No, God doesn't do that kind of stuff. Jesus came to give life. We have an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, sometimes sickness comes, sometimes those accidents come because we have an enemy that hates us and that he's trying to take us out. We live in a broken world. And sin plays a part in it, but it's not necessarily a sin that you committed that caused these things. So, let's talk about faith. Some people say, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's why you're not getting healed. Well, see, my Bible tells me that we're all given a measure of faith. See, it's through faith that we are saved. It's grace through faith. See, if it wasn't God giving us faith, we would never get saved because we don't have faith within ourselves to believe in God. But it's God that gives us a measure of faith. Now, there's things that we can do to grow our faith. Absolutely. But let's listen. You know, how do we get saved? You know, we say it's by grace through faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we'll be saved. If I confess Jesus as Lord of my life, Jesus be my Lord, be my Savior, and I truly believe that in my heart, that's how you're saved. We're saved by faith. And so that's the same thing. Is that that's how we receive from God, is that we have to believe. And I believe that there has to be some action or some a confession that comes from our mouth that faith is activated in our life. And I believe it's very important that we get into God's Word because this is God's will for our life. This is the thing that we know about God, is it all stems out of God's Word. And as we put God's Word in our life, then that we can activate faith because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so if you need faith in an area of your life, then you need to find it in God's Word. If you're struggling with health issues, get into God's Word and find out what it says about that. If you're struggling with depression, if you have thoughts of suicide, get into God's Word and find out what He says about that. Whatever it is that you're facing, if you're having trouble in your marriage, get into God's Word and find out His will for that. And that's how we get faith, is through God's Word and hearing God's Word and hearing God's Word and putting it in and putting it in. And I believe at that point we have to activate God's Word in our life by taking steps of faith and by speaking God's Word over our life. This is how faith is activated. And I believe that's how we receive our healing, is through that. But not everybody who prays gets healed, do they? So what's the thing? It's not always about your faith while you're not getting healed. See, like I said, I wish I could answer this question. I wish everything within me I could answer this question for you and give you the formula for it. But there's not one. See, we got to learn to trust in Him. Activate our faith in God. And we've got to put it in His hands. Some people say it's about sowing and reaping. There's some truth in that. We see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, I looked at the wrong one again. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. See, here's the thing. If you eat chocolate cake all the time, that's all that you eat, and you go to the doctors and you say, you have diabetes. See, at this point, you start praying to God. God, heal me of diabetes. Heal me of diabetes. And you keep eating chocolate cake. Now, I'm not saying that God can't heal that, or that He wouldn't be willing to heal that. But there's times that our own decisions, the things that we sow into our life, take place. We receive that harvest. That if you eat chocolate cake, you're going to receive a harvest of diabetes. Now, if you eat everything perfect, you eat clean, you don't eat any, I don't know what it means to eat clean, all that. I don't understand all that stuff. Ask Tammy if you want to know all that stuff. She knows. But I know people that have worked out all of their lives. They ate wonderful all their lives and they die of a heart attack. It's not a perfect formula that if you do everything right, then it's going to work out for you. See, here's the thing. You don't earn things by doing right. We're not on an earning system from God, in that if we do everything just perfect and we live everything right, then everything's going to work out. That's not true. I wish I could say that it was true, but we live in a broken world. We're still battling sin. We're still battling temptation. We're still battling all those things. And so, in this question that we asked, why aren't people healed? I don't know. But here's what I can tell you. This is what I've lived out, I've experienced in my life. All I can go on is God's Word and how that's played out in my life. See, God has healed me on several different occasions. I've experienced God's healing, so I know it's God's will that He still heals. And I believe that it's God's perfect will that we all have a healthy life. See, I remember a time when I was working for Pepsi, and I was out in the middle of nowhere. I was in Franklin, Arkansas. Anybody know where Franklin, Arkansas is? There's a couple of y'all know where Franklin is. It's in the middle of nowhere. And I reached in the back of my truck, in one of the bays of my Pepsi truck, picked up 2 12-packs, and my back popped, and I just fell over in my truck. I couldn't move. And my back was just spasming, and I just like... And so I went to pray. It's like, God, I can't move. I'm out here in Franklin, Arkansas. And there's nobody around. I'm going to lay here for the rest of my life. But I mean, I had to lay there for 10 minutes before I could even move a muscle. And I finally got my body relaxed enough to where I could get up. And I had like 2 more stops, and it took me like 3 hours to finish. But I was able to finish. But I mean, it was just like muscle spasms. And I couldn't hardly walk. And so I go home and I lay in the floor. And I just began to pray, God, I know what Your Word says, that with the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, God. I trust in that, God. I put my faith in You. And I fall asleep in the floor. And I wake up, and I still can't move. And I literally crawl to bed. And I get in bed. And I continue, God, it's like, I've got to work. If I don't work, I don't get paid. If I don't get paid, I don't pay my bills. And God, I need this healing. I've got to get healed, God. And I'm trusting in you on this. And I woke up that next morning. I was sore, but I could walk. And God did a healing in my body to where I didn't miss a day of work. And God worked that out in my life. And there's other occasions to where, you know, I was getting sick. And I was like, God, I trust in your healing. And God healed my body. Here's what I can tell you guys, is that there's not a magic formula, there's not a magic prayer. But as I trust in Him, I do everything that I can do in my power, according to God's Word, and that I have faith, that I speak God's Word over my life, and then I put it in His hands. So that's the best thing that we can do. Does that guarantee that what I'm praying about is going to happen? No. But let me tell you something. When you put it in God's hands, it's in God's power now. And that He can activate His power in your life to do something. Because I am powerless to do those kind of things in my own life. But I can be obedient and do the things that God's asked me to do. And I can trust in Him. I can trust in His Word. And I say, God, this is all that I can do, God. And I trust you. And I cast this thing onto you, God. And I trust you to take care of it. And here's the thing. Once you do that, you got to trust the outcome to Him no matter what it is. No matter what that outcome is, you got to trust that that's what God wanted in your life. That this is what God did in your life. See, you know, you ask the question, you know, why do babies die? Is that God's will? I don't think so. But you know what? That baby is in a whole lot better place. You know, why did my loved one die? I don't know. But if they believed in Jesus, they wouldn't pay you. You couldn't pay them $1 million to come back, because they have their healing, they have their wholeness, and they're in the presence of God. It's a win-win. Either I'm going to get my healing there, or I'm going to get it here. And so, you know, we've got to change kind of how we think about some things, and that God does want to bring health to us. Sometimes that health is in heaven. Sometimes that health is here. I still believe that it's God's will for everyone to be healthy. But there's so many different factors of sin and God's will and our will and sowing and reaping and all these things going on in life, and that you can't guarantee it. But man, I can put my trust in Him. And I trust Him in the outcome, that whatever the outcome is, I'm going to be happy in it because I've trusted Him. I wish I could give you a better answer than that. But here's the thing. The answer is trust in God. Trust in what He wants to do in your life. Do all that you can do. Do all that God's asked you to do. Then trust Him. Because He knows what's best. See, here's the thing about God, is that He always knows what's going to happen in your life. He doesn't necessarily cause everything to happen in your life, but He knows what's going to happen in your life. He knew the day you were going to be born. He knew the day you were going to be born. He knew you're going to be here today. He knew you needed to hear this message. He knows the day that you're going to die. It doesn't necessarily mean He's controlling that He's making that happen. But here's the thing, that all throughout your life, God is giving you grace to make it through what is in your life. And that he says this, He says, no matter what temptation comes your way, I've provided a way out for you. And so that it might not be God's will what's going on in your life right now, but He's provided grace for you right now. He's provided everything that you need to get you to where He wants you to go. He might not be directing each and every step, but He's taking you somewhere, and He's given you everything that you need to get there. Let's trust in Him on that. Let's do what we can do. Let's be obedient to God's Word. Let's put God's Word in our lives. Let's trust in Him. Let's pray. Let's lift each other up. If you have sickness in your body, the Bible tells you to call on the elders of the church and let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Let's be obedient to God's Word and do what He's asked us to do and trust in Him for the results. And then when the results come, let's thank Him. Let's thank Him because it was in His hands at that point. Can we pray today? Father, thank You. God, thank You that You're a big God. God, that You're a massive God. That You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. God, and we can't comprehend You. We can't comprehend all of Your ways, and we don't know why everything happens. God, except for that we live in a broken world and bad things happen. God, I just pray that through it all, through the trials, through the storms in life, that we trust in You. God, help us to continue to put God's Word, Your Word into our hearts, God, and to live that out and to trust You for the results. God, whether it comes from healing, God, whether it's needing something in our marriage to praying for our kids, God, whether it's a decision that we have coming up that we don't know what to do, God, help us to trust in You. God, and as we put our will into Your hands, God, saying, Your will be done. God, thank You that Your will is done. God, that You bring about the exact thing that we need in our life. We thank You for that. We love You in Jesus' name. Prayer team, if you could come forward. This has been a tough message. It's been one of those that answers questions and it brings a lot of questions up at the same time. And we got people up here that are ready to pray. You might need healing in your life. You might need healing in your marriage. You might need healing in your family. You might need some answers, some of your questions answered. These people are here ready to pray with you. They're here to put their faith with your faith. Call on the elders of the church. Let's pray together. Let's put our faith together. Let's trust Him with our lives. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship. If you need prayer, come.